Amen. All right, we're there in John chapter number 16. And this morning I'm preaching a sermon on a very specific subject. And to be honest with you, and this could be said about a lot of subjects, but this subject, there's never really a good time to preach this sermon, to preach about this subject. And the reason for that is because there's always someone who is struggling with this, thinking this, saying this, or believing this, and therefore it seems like there's just never really a good time to deal with it. We as preachers oftentimes like to deal with certain topics when we know, or at least to the best of our ability, we perceive that there's no one in the congregation that's actively engaged in that issue. However, with this subject, because there's always someone thinking this, it's impossible to preach it at a time when someone's not dealing with it. And to be honest with you, it's impossible to even know who's thinking it, who's believing it, who's feeling this way, who's struggling with this. And so it has been my experience that there's just never really a good time to deal with it, because you're just always dealing with it. And I decided to preach on it at the Red Hot Preaching Conference for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's so widespread that it affects every pastor. It affects every congregation. So I think preaching at it at a conference like the Red Hot Preaching Conference, with multiple churches being represented here this morning, with multiple pastors being here this morning, I think it's as good a time as any to preach on this subject. And I may be making it sound more serious than it really is, but let me go ahead and tell you what I'm preaching about this morning. This morning I'm preaching on the subject of what to do when you think the sermon is about you. What to do when you think the sermon is about you. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. And some of you are thinking, I think that sermon's about me. And that's why this sermon needs to be preached, because this is a common thing that people get upset about, where they'll think that the pastor's just preaching this sermon directed right at that individual. And like I said, this morning I've got several pastor friends that are here, and I didn't ask them this in advance, but let me just go ahead and ask my pastor friends, you know, just by raise of hand, have you ever had someone mad at you because they thought you preached a sermon? Let me see all the pastors. Yeah, I mean, like, every single pastor has his hand raised. So there you go. You know, this just shows you that this is a problem, you know, where people often think. And what I always, and this is something that I deal with, honestly, on a regular basis. And whenever I deal with this, I always wish that I had this sermon. The sermon I'm going to preach right now, I always wish I had this sermon just ready to go, like a link ready to send somebody. Say, you need to listen to this. So I'm preaching this sermon this morning on the subject of what to do when you think that the sermon is about you. I'd like to give you four thoughts this morning, four thoughts to consider with regards to what to do when you think that the sermon is about you. And if you're taking notes, and I always encourage our church family to take notes, then maybe on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some things. Maybe there you can jot some of these things out. And let me give you several things here. You're there in John chapter 16. I'd like you to look down at verse number 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. The Bible says this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away," I want you to notice this little title here, "the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Of course, here, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about the fact that he is going to leave the disciples. But he's not going to leave them alone. He's going to send the Comforter. Now, who's the Comforter? And I know you know this, but just flip back to John chapter 14 just real quickly. And look at the first part of verse number 26. John chapter 14 and verse number 26, the Bible says this: "But the Comforter," notice it, "which is the Holy Ghost. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So according to the Bible, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Go back to John 16, 7. And here Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," remember John 14, 26 tells us that's the Holy Ghost, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Notice verse number 8 of the same chapter, John chapter 16, verse 8. The Bible says this: "And when he is come," when the Comforter has come, when the Holy Spirit has come. Notice what the Bible says. Here we're learning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Jesus said that he will reprove the world of sin. That he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove means to express disapproval. It means to reprimand or to rebuke. And the Bible tells us that one of the things that the Comforter, that the Holy Spirit does, is that he is going to reprove the world of sin. And I'd like to begin this morning by saying this. And like I said, I'm going to give you four statements this morning in regards to what you should consider when you think that there's a sermon being preached against you. When you think the sermon is about you, you should consider that, number one, maybe it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You should consider the fact that maybe it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And it's interesting to me that people often assume, and they'll get upset and they'll say, I think the pastor is talking about me right now. I think the pastor is preaching about me right now. But it seems like they never consider the possibility that maybe it's not the pastor, maybe it's the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe it is the Holy Spirit that is talking to them. See, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit reproves sin. And I understand that the context here is reproving the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But we see that this is something the Holy Spirit does. He reproves sin and he reproves and he speaks to us through his word. Not only that, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit uses the word of God like a sword. The Bible tells that the Holy Spirit reproves sin, and the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God like a sword. In Ephesians chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, the Bible gives us that great passage on the armor of God. If you remember the passage, the Bible says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, the Bible says, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, the Bible says, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. And then it says this, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God like a sword. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit reproves against sin, and then it tells us that it uses the Word of God like a sword. The Bible also tells us about itself that it is a piercing sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, but the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Think about that. The Bible says about itself that the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now you might ask, well, how can a book be a discern? The word discern means to understand. And the Bible tells us that the Bible discerns your thoughts and your intent, your intentions. It discerns you. You say, how can a book discern me? Well, remember, it's the word of God, which is quick and powerful. The word quick means that it's alive. The Bible is not a dead book, it's a living book. It's quick and powerful, and the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God like a sword, and it pierces, and when it pierces, it discerns your thoughts and your intents. You know what that means? Is that when a man of God stands up to preach, being filled with the Spirit of God, preaching the Word of God will pierce your thoughts and your intent, and it'll apply itself where it needs to apply to hit home to you. I always think it's interesting. I'll preach a sermon about a certain subject, and afterwards, someone will walk up to me and say, the Holy Spirit today, or the preaching today, the Word of God today spoke to me about this this subject. And it will be about something I didn't even talk about. I mean, it's like, you know, I preach a sermon on tithing, and someone's like, oh, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me about being a soul winner. And I'm like, I didn't even mention soul winning. And you say, well, how does that happen? Well, you know how it happens is that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what's interesting to me is that people are often so concerned about what does the pastor know? What does the pastor know? I mean, he's preaching the sermon. He must know something about me. What does the pastor know about my life? And why is he making these statements? And why is he saying these things? It must be like he knows me. But you know, the truth of the matter is this, that you should be less concerned about what the pastor knows and more concerned about what God knows. Less concerned about what the pastor knows and more concerned about what the Word of God knows. Less concerned about what the pastor knows and more concerned about what the Holy Spirit knows. You know, what's interesting to me is that verse, Hebrews 4:12, is a very famous verse in regards to the Word of God. But the very next verse, Hebrews 4:13, says this, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." You get so concerned about what does the pastor know. But remember, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And I'm just saying to you this morning that when you show up to church, and the pastor begins to preach, he begins to say some things, and you start thinking to yourself, I think he's talking about me. Did my wife talk to him? My parents tell him something? I think the sermon's about me. Hey, you know, one thing you ought to consider, that maybe, just maybe, it's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. I mean, we say we believe in the Holy Spirit. We say we believe in the supernatural. We say we believe in the Word of God. We say we believe those things, and we give lip service to it. But then you show up to church, and the man of God stands up and preaches the Word of God, and you immediately assume, I think he's talking about me. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit talking. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit talking about you. The Holy Spirit will prick you. If you remember, Jesus said to Saul on the road to Damascus in Acts 9:5, remember, he said to him, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If you remember in Acts 2:37, they said that they were pricked, the Bible says, in their hearts. And I'm here to tell you that if you go to a place like the Red Hot Preaching Conference and you begin to hear biblical preaching, spirit-filled preaching, the Word of God being preached, you might begin to feel that prick. You might begin to feel the prick of the sword of the Word of God piercing your heart. And before you start blaming the pastor, you may want to consider if it's the Holy Spirit. Because when you think that the sermon's about you, you should consider maybe it is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. I'd like you to go with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 12. You're there in John 16. If you go past the book of Acts into the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 12, let me give you a second thought this morning. I said, number one, when you think the sermon is about you, you should consider that maybe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But secondly, this morning, let me say this. When you think that the sermon is about you, maybe you should consider, when you think that the sermon is about you, you should consider that maybe you think too highly of yourself. Are you there in Romans chapter 12? Look at verse number 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you," look at these words, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." This is a great exhortation for all Christians, that we should not think of ourselves, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The Bible says that we should not think too highly of ourselves. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 131. If you open your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms, Psalm 131. And you know what I've learned is this, that vain people, arrogant people, prideful people, spend all day thinking about themselves. And then they make this assumption, they think that everyone else is thinking about them. And arrogant people think that everyone's thinking about them. And look, I just want to say to you this morning, if you think that everybody's thinking about you, you think too much about you. You ought to think of yourself. You ought not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Psalm 131 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. The psalmist says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. The word haughty means arrogant, means lifted up. This attitude of superiority. He said, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. The word lofty means, again, something that is high. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Here the psalmist said, I'm not haughty. My eyes are not lofty. I don't exercise myself in things too high for me. What is he saying? He's saying that I don't think more highly of myself than I ought to think. And look, if you're here this morning and you're the type of person who's just constantly thinking, I think the sermon's about me. Nobody's thinking about you. The only person thinking about you is you. The only person you think about is yourself, and you ought not assume, hey, do not assume that everybody is thinking about you. You're there in Psalms. Go with me to the book of Esther, if you would. Esther chapter number 6. If you go backwards from Psalms, you have Job, then the book of Esther. When you think the sermon is about you, you should consider that maybe it is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. And when you think the sermon is about you, maybe you should consider that maybe you think too highly of yourself. And if you think that everybody's thinking about you, you think too much of yourself. You're an arrogant person. You're a prideful person. You're a vain person. People will often think that they think that every sermon's about them. And it's just like, you can't say anything. It's just like, everything's about me. I mean, you can't get up and preach anything, and it's like, yeah, he perhaps is preaching about me. And it's like, good night. I'm like, I preached out of Romans 1. I preached about the reprobates. It's like, I think that sermon might have been about me. I'm like, whoa, then we got problems. And this idea that every time Pastor gets up and preaches, he's saying something about me. No, you think too much about you. You ought not be the person who thinks that everything is about you. For those of you that listen to my sermons on a regular basis, my church family knows this, that I often like to read or quote or even at times sing hymns in my preaching that underscore the point that I'm making. And for this sermon, I just kept thinking of this great old hymn of the faith. You might have heard of it. It's called, You're So Vain, You Probably Think This Song Is About You. And sometimes that's how I feel. I feel like just getting up and singing, you know, you're so vain, you probably think this sermon's about you. You're so vain, you probably think this sermon's about you. Don't you? Don't you? And look, when you just think that every sermon's about you, maybe you have a pride problem. Maybe you have an arrogancy problem. You're just assuming everybody's thinking about you. Nobody's thinking about you. In fact, I think this morning, I know this is the new IFB, but I'm almost tempted to just have an old-fashioned invitation and have the pianist. As the pianist begins to play, You're So Vain, you probably think this song is about you. Why don't you walk down the aisle and make an old-fashioned altar here under my feet? Don't think everything's about you all the time. Don't be the person. You know, it is bad people who are often thinking everything's about them. There's a great story in the Bible that does underscore this thought. I want to share it with you. I know you know, but I'd like you to see it. In Esther chapter number 6 and verse 6, the Bible says here, Esther 6 and verse 6, it says, So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now, I don't have time to develop the story. I know you know it. But Haman's the bad guy here. Mordecai is the good guy. And Haman is a person that is filled with pride. He's an arrogant person. In fact, everybody's bowing down to him, but there's one guy who won't bow down to him by the name of Mordecai, and he wants to kill him. And Haman has decided that he's going to go to the king today, right where we find ourselves in that story. He's going to go to the king, and he's going to ask to kill Mordecai. He's going to ask to hang Mordecai. But in the providence of God, and we know that God is always working on the other side, God did not allow the king to sleep that night. And as a result, he asked for the chronicles and the history to be read to him. And it was read to him an account about Mordecai that he was not aware of, the fact that Mordecai actually saved the king's life. So the king wakes up that day and he wants to do something nice for Mordecai. Get the story. Haman is coming to the court to ask to kill Mordecai. The king wants to do something nice for Mordecai. And when Haman comes in, the king asks Haman this question. What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Again, the king is talking about Mordecai, the enemy of Haman. Haman hates Mordecai. He wants to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai. In verse 4. Notice what the last part of verse 6 says. Now when Haman thought in his heart, look at these words. To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? Here's a guy who thinks that everything's about him. And the king is saying, hey, I want to do something nice for someone. What do you think I should do for someone that I want to do something nice? And this guy thinks he must be talking about me. This guy thinks everything's about him. And if this guy showed up at a new IP church, you know what he would think? He would think, I think the pastor's preaching about me. Who else would he be thinking about if not me? And of course, Haman, we won't take the time to read the whole thing, but he advises the king. He says, let him put on the king's apparel in verse 8 and ride on the king's horse, also verse 8. He said, let him wear the king's crown in verse 8. He says, let him be paraded around the streets of the city in verse 9. He says, let someone proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor in verse 9. Look at verse 10. Esther chapter 6, verse 10. Then the king said unto Haman, make haste. And take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said. Look at what he says. And do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. And of course, Haman has to then do what he said to do. Not him being the one on the horse, but him proclaiming, him parading and proclaiming this man, Mordecai, who he wants to kill. And he's taking him around the city and saying, thus, I'm sure his heart wasn't into it. I'm sure he didn't really get into it. But he's going around saying, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. You know, the thing about pride is this, that God has a way of humbling us when we allow pride into our lives. The Bible says that pride cometh before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And you ought to deal with this issue of pride. When you think that the sermon is about you, you should consider that maybe, just maybe, I know this thought never crossed your mind, but maybe it's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. And when you think that the sermon is about you, maybe you should consider that you think too highly of yourself. And you think too much about yourself. And you're sitting there thinking that Pastor Jimenez or Pastor Thompson or Pastor Mejia or Pastor Jones or Pastor Reyes or, you know, these pastors have nothing better to do than to sit around in their study all day thinking about you. That's pride, my friend. And I know it's funny, but really when you think about it and you put it into context, it's disgusting. To think that you would think so highly of yourself. That you consider that everybody's just thinking about you. Of course they're thinking about me. Who else would they be thinking about? Maybe you should consider that you think too highly about yourself. Let me give you a third one. Go to Isaiah chapter 58 if you would. Isaiah chapter 58. You're there in Esther. If you go past the book of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. We're talking about things that you should consider. When you think the sermon is about you. I want to give you these four thoughts and then I'm going to give you some closing applications. But when you think the sermon is about you, you ought to consider that maybe it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And when you think the sermon is about you, maybe you should consider that maybe you think too highly about yourself. But how about this one? When you think that the sermon is about you, maybe you should consider that maybe you've never actually experienced hard preaching. You know, you come to a conference like the Red Hot Preaching Conference, or you join a church like one of our churches, and maybe for the first time in your life, you are hearing hard biblical preaching. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, no, Pastor Menez, that's not it because I've listened to the hard preaching online for years. And when I showed up to church and I felt like you guys started preaching about me. Listen, it is not the same listening to it online. Period. End of story. It's not the same. It's not the same as sitting in the room and having me look in the whites of your eyes. People are like, he was just staring at me the whole time. Like, really? I'm just like, the whole time. The whole time I'm preaching, I'm just looking at you. Maybe you think too highly of yourself. Maybe you think too much of yourself. And people get, and they're like, no, well, I listened to this preaching online before and it wasn't the same. Yeah, it wasn't the same because you're singing your underwear. It wasn't the same because you're checking your email, your text. I mean, I know some of you are doing that anyway, but it's not the same. And then you show up to a church like this and the man of God stands up and preaches the word of God. And you're like, I think he's talking about me. Maybe you've never experienced hard preaching. Maybe you've never experienced biblical preaching. You know that biblical preaching, hard preaching, those are synonyms. That's the same thing. You know that biblical preaching and hard preaching is specific preaching. It's specific. Isaiah 58, look at it, verse 1. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Look, you showed up to the Red Hawk Preaching Conference. Why'd you come here? Isaiah 58, verse 1. Look at the words. Cry aloud. Why are you guys so loud? Because the Bible says to cry aloud. Right, keep you awake. When I get your attention, cry aloud, but then look at it, spare not. What does that mean, spare not? It means to not refrain, to not forbear, to not hold back, to not water it down. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and look at the words, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. Habakkuk 2:2, you don't have to turn there, says this, that we need to make it plain. Easy to be understood. Listen, hard preaching is specific preaching. It's specific. And we're going to be specific, and we're going to name the names, and we're going to name the sin, and at times you're going to think, oh, wow. You know, and we'll mention some movie or mention some whatever, and you'll be like, oh, how does he know I'm watching that? We don't. Everyone's watching it. That's why we're bringing it up. It's specific. Hard preaching is specific. By the way, hard preaching is also at times explicit. What do you mean by that? I'm talking about like sometimes we got to put like an explicit warning sticker on our sermons. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Bible says that every word in the King James Bible is a pure word. But you know what? The Bible sometimes uses words that our world deems as offensive. Sometimes the Bible uses words that people, they'll act like it's a curse word, but it's a Bible word. You say, like what? Like the Bible uses the word damn. And then you say the word damn from the pulpit and people are like, oh, I can't believe you said that. It's like it's a Bible word. The words of the Lord are pure words. Why we use the word hell? And then use the word hell from the pulpit and people are all offended like, oh, I can't believe you said that. Look, the Bible uses the word damn. The Bible uses the word hell. The Bible uses the word bastard. You know the Bible uses the word bastard? It's a Bible word. You say, well, I don't think you should. Well, look, it should be shameful to have children out of wedlock. Obviously, if you're here this morning and you've had children out of wedlock and that's in your past, we love you and we want to help you and we want to help you do right going forward. But we need to show the people of God their transgression. We need to make it plain. It needs to be specific. It needs to be explicit. The Bible used the word damn. It used the word hell. It used the word piss. It uses the word faggot. No, wait, no, not that one. That's not the King James Version. That's the New IV Version. But what I'm saying is this, that sometimes Bible preaching is offensive. Because it's so specific. And it's so explicit. And maybe you ought to consider the fact that maybe you just never actually heard Bible preaching. Because let's just be honest. Not all preaching is created equal. And not all Baptists are created equal. Yeah, well, I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church. Good. I'm glad. Praise the Lord. But maybe, just maybe, for the first time in your life, you're experiencing some hard preaching, and you're assuming that we have a lot more time and we're just a lot smarter. I mean, you must think we're smarter than we are, but we're not thinking about you and 275 other people. We're just preaching the Bible. Biblical preaching, hard preaching, is specific preaching. But let me say this. Biblical preaching, hard preaching, is applicable preaching. You're there in Isaiah. Go with me if you would to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. We're talking about things you ought to consider when you think the sermon's about you. And when you think that the pastor's preaching a sermon against you, you ought to consider that maybe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Maybe you think too highly of yourself. But you ought to consider that maybe you've never actually experienced hard preaching. Because hard preaching is specific, hard preaching is explicit, and hard preaching is applicable. Are you there in Ezekiel 33? Ezekiel 33, look at verse 30. Ezekiel 33 and verse 30, the Bible says, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Ezekiel had gotten a reputation of being a preacher of the word of God. And people thought that he was a good speaker. They thought he was an eloquent speaker. I mean, Ezekiel would have definitely been invited to the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And they're talking about him, and they're saying, "Come and hear what the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they came unto thee as the people cometh," verse 31, "and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words." Notice it though, here's the problem: "but they will not do them." Listen to me very carefully. There is no point of you going to a church like this. There is no point of you getting on a plane and traveling to an event like the Red Hot Preaching Conference, or you packing up your family and moving them across the country to go to a church like this church, for you to sit there and say, "Look at this preacher, look at Pastor Anderson, look at these other pastors, look at Pastor Mejia, look at Pastor Jones, look at Pastor Pizarro, look at Pastor Thompson, look at these men, and they're so eloquent and they're so powerful, and that's the kind of church I want to go to, and I want to sit in a church like their church." Hey, there's no point of you sitting in a church like this church if you're not going to do what the preaching tells you to do. Amen. People are like, "I never would go to a church that wasn't a soul winning church," and they don't go soul winning. I mean, figure that one out. "I would never go to a church that wasn't King James," and I don't think you should go to a church that's not King James, but how about you read your King James? "I would only go to a church that's King James." You don't read the Bible. And look, you can sit there and say, "Oh, the preaching's powerful, oh, the preaching's great, oh, the preaching's eloquent, oh, the preaching's dynamic, oh, the preaching's awesome." But they will not do them. "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Verse 32, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, as one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." You say, what is that context? What is this here, "when this cometh to pass"? You know the "when this cometh to pass"? You know what the "this" is referring to? The judgment of God. And look, you can come to a church. You can move to a church. You can go to a conference that tells you what to do with your marriage, how to raise your children, how to live your life, all the things. Look, you can come to a church that tells you all these things, but if you don't do them, you're going to end up having the same outcome that everyone who doesn't go to a church like that. Do you understand that? And then we get blamed, you know, because a sermon that will be preached another day. Right now I'm preaching on "when you think the sermon's about you." Here's my other favorite one. "When your life falls apart and you're like, that church, it didn't help. That church, it didn't work. I went to that church and it didn't work." No, nothing was wrong with the church. Nothing wrong with the preaching. Nothing wrong with the Word of God. The problem was you. The Word of God works. You didn't work. You can't just be a hearer of the word, you have to be a doer of the word. And biblical preaching is applicable preaching. We will apply it. Oftentimes, I'll write a sermon, I'll write an outline, and then I'll spend time just trying to think of how can this principle, how can this thought be applied in different areas of life, in different ways. Why? Because it will not help you if you don't do it. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. The only way that biblical preaching will help you is if you do it. And this is taught throughout the Bible. James tells us, don't be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. A doer of the work. Jesus ended his famous, you don't have to turn there, Jesus ended his famous Sermon on the Mount with the story of the wise man that built his house upon the rock and the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. What was the difference? He said there in Matthew 7:24, you don't have to turn there, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And in verse 26, he said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And look, you ought to consider the fact. When you think the sermon's about you, you ought to consider the fact that maybe you've just never experienced hard preaching. And look, you ought to grow up and decide you're not going to be the type of person that's just always offended. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If the word of God is being preached, it should never offend you. It should never be something that causes you to stumble. Now look, is it going to sting? It's going to hurt? I don't know. I've never been stabbed with a sword, but I would imagine it hurts. And when the sword pierces through and discerns the thoughts and intents of your heart, it may hurt. But you ought to decide, I love the word of God. And if the word of God is being preached, if the word of God is being preached and applied to my life, maybe it hurts, but I'm not going to be offended. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We're talking about what you should consider. What you should consider when you think the sermon's about you. And look, I hope that this sermon becomes somewhat, I don't know, just kind of this sermon that's just out there, filed away in the back of your mind. You go home, go back to your church, or your very Baptist church, you come back to our normal services, and I start preaching, and you start thinking, I think the pastor might be preaching a sermon about me. I hope that you'll go back and listen to this sermon. And remind yourself that maybe you should consider that it is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. Maybe you should consider that you think too highly of yourself. Maybe you should consider, maybe it's just hard preaching, and hard preaching is specific preaching, and it's explicit preaching, and it's applicable. Biblical preaching is applicable preaching. Amen. Maybe that's what you're experiencing. I'd like you to go with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I think I've got a little towel in here. Is that correct? Yeah. Thank you. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. In 2 Samuel chapter number 12, in verse number 1, I'd like you to notice this very famous story in the Bible. Remember David? David was a great man of God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. He was the great giant slayer. He slew Goliath. But if you remember, David fell into sin. He committed sin, committed adultery with Bathsheba, committed murder, and had Uriah the Hittite put to death. And as a result, David gets a visit from a preacher. Look at it. Psalm 12 and verse 1. Excuse me, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1, the Bible says this, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. David has committed adultery with Bathsheba, put Uriah the Hittite to death. And he came unto him and said unto him. Nathan the prophet begins to preach a sermon to David. He says, there was two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled. So David hears the story of a poor man that has one lamb, a very rich man that has much herd and many sheep and lambs, and he needs a lamb. And instead of taking from the many options that he had, he takes this one man's lamb. And here's David's response, verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And notice there, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." And he goes on to give the application to the sermon. Why don't you notice how David responds? Look at verse 13, 2 Samuel 12, 13. And David said unto Nathan, "I think this sermon's about me." Is that what he said? And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." You know, I'm giving you these things to consider. When you think the sermon's about you, when you think the sermon's about you, you ought to consider that maybe it's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. You ought to consider that maybe you think too highly of yourself. You ought to consider that maybe you've never actually experienced hard preaching. But you know, when you think the sermon is about you, and here's the thing, I'm doing my best to give you all the answers. So when you feel this way, you know, you can say, "Well, maybe it's this one, maybe it's this one, maybe it's this one." Now, I know that some of you are sitting here thinking, "He's preaching about me." And you're like, "I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with any of those. I don't think that's true. The Holy Spirit speaking to me? Yeah, right. Me thinking too highly of myself? I'm the most humble person I know. I mean, hard preaching, pastor, your preaching's not that great." Like, some of you are thinking these things. And you're thinking, none of these apply to me. Okay, well, let me give you one. Look, this one, if none of them applied to you thus far, this one is going to apply to you. I promise. When you think that the sermon's about you, yes, you should consider that maybe it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And yes, you should consider that maybe you think too highly of yourself. And maybe you should consider that you've never actually experienced hard preaching. But if none of those satisfy you, then maybe you should consider this. When you think the sermon's about you, maybe you should consider that just maybe the sermon is about you. Maybe the sermon's about you. I mean, Nathan shows up and preaches his whole sermon. And David's like, "Man, that's terrible. I want to fix that. That's not okay." And Nathan says, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And I always think it's interesting. And look, just think about it. Think about it for a second. Where? Because here's how people act. People act like a pastor's not allowed to preach a sermon against an individual. A pastor's not allowed to preach a sermon against a person. The pastor's supposed to stand up and preach generic sermons, just all whatever, and when they happen to maybe apply to you, maybe if it's a good day, then you'll apply it. But he's not allowed to preach. And here's the question I have. Where does it say in the Bible that preachers are not allowed to preach sermons about people? Look, I'm not saying we do or we should. I mean, I'm sure we all have done it. But where does it say in the Bible? I mean, Nathan didn't get that. He didn't get the note. He didn't get the memo. Nathan must have missed that lesson in Bible college. Hey, Nathan, never preach a sermon about people. I mean, the most famous sermon of Nathan was an audience of one. And when the audience of one, when it went over their head, because that's what normally happens, Let me just let you in on a little secret. Like, well, why can't you just try to say it in a way that doesn't just seem so directed at me? Because you don't get it! Because you don't get it! He preached the sermon and David's like, I'm so angry. And Nathan's like, it's you. It's you. Thou art the man. I'm just asking the question, where does it say in the Bible that preachers are not allowed to preach sermons about people? I mean, show me the verse. And again, I'm not saying that we should or we do or that it's something that we should do on a regular basis. But look, isn't the whole point of going to church to get applicable, directed right at you preaching? Isn't that the whole point? I'm sorry, I just thought that's why you came to a conference called the Red Hot Preaching Conference. It's always interesting to me how people leave offended. It's like, you came to a conference called the Red Hot Preaching Conference. Yeah. It's not called the Lukewarm Preaching Conference. It's not called the, you know, old IFB, we're going to go golfing and not go soul winning conference. It's called the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And then people, I preached about this last year, people invite their, you know, their family member that's not even saved. Like, I'm fine. I'm going to get them to church. When are you bringing them? Pastor Shelley's sermon. It's like, oh! Why? But where in the Bible does it say, isn't the whole point to preach sermons to help you? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says about preachers, the Bible says to the congregation about the preacher, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that, the Bible says, is unprofitable for you. And the Bible tells us that we are to watch for your souls. We as preachers are to watch for your souls. We're supposed to watch. And when we see problems and issues in your life and in your marriage and with your family, we're supposed to try to help you. But here's what people say. And I've had this conversation over the last 14 years multiple times. Look, if you think the sermon's about you, it is. But it's about a lot of you. Because a lot of people think this. And this is the idea that people have. People think, like, pastors should just preach these generic sermons. And then if you see a problem in my personal life, you should approach me and talk to me about that. And I understand that there is a time and a place for that. But people get this idea, like, pastors should never preach sermons that are directed at anybody. And you should just come to me. You should just come to me when you see me have a personal problem. You should just come to me and talk to me and not preach a whole sermon. Okay, here's the problem with that. And look, I realize most of you are not pastors and you don't understand this. So I just want emotional intelligence. I've been preaching about emotional intelligence. I just want to help you understand and see it from our perspective, okay? You say, you should just come to me when you see personal problems in my life, just come to me and talk to me about it. Here's the problem with that. I don't think some of you realize how many problems you have. You have a lot of problems. I don't think you actually want me pulling you into my office every time I see a problem. It's just going to be like a standing appointment. It'll be literally, you say, well, what would it be, Pastor? If you just said, I'm going to, you know, give you permission, you can pull me into the office and you can just talk to me when you see a problem, you know, how often would that have to happen? I don't know, 3 times a week? It'd literally be like a 3 times a week standing appointment. So guess what? We already have it. It's called Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Because I don't think you realize how many problems you have. Well, just come to me personally. Look, I can't fix all your problems in one conversation. I need an hour slot 3 times a week. Pastor, if you think I've got some emotional intelligence problems, look, I had to preach on emotional intelligence for 11 weeks. 1 hour sermons for 11 weeks. That's how many problems you've got. You want me to pull you aside every time I see you doing something stupid? Really? Where in the Bible does it say that preachers are not allowed to preach Sermon's directed at people. I thought that was the whole point. And look, I understand there's a time and a place to deal with certain... I understand that. I'm just saying to you that the Bible doesn't say never preach a sermon directed at anybody. In fact, the Bible says the opposite of that. And look, when you think that the sermon's about you, maybe instead of being angry at your pastor, you should be thankful that there's a man of God who loves you enough to tell you the truth. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know what Paul said? Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, instead of getting mad and angry and upset and getting all pissy, it's a Bible word. Okay, not the why. But I think he's preaching about me. Maybe you ought to be thankful that there's a man of God who loves you and loves your family and loves your testimony enough to try to help you. Who's watching for your soul. And saying, look, you're making some bad decisions here. You're going down the wrong road here. I'm trying to help you. Or how about this one? Maybe you ought to consider. You know, people are always like, they always want to turn around on us. I think you're preaching this sermon. You're preaching this sermon about me. And they act. They act like we're doing something wrong. But have you ever stopped to consider? Whoa, I am such a pain in the neck that my pastor felt the need to preach a whole sermon about me. You ever thought about that one? Maybe you should consider that one. Instead of, I think he's preaching about me. Yeah, ask yourself, why is he preaching about me? I'm such a stinking pain in the neck. I've been such a problem. Maybe you should listen. See, I'm just trying to help you consider. You say, Pastor, I think you're preaching a sermon about, like, I don't know most of you. And your pastor didn't tell me to preach this. I'm just trying to help you understand some things. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quickly. We're almost done. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. We're going to go to Acts. We'll be done. 2 Timothy, Acts, we'll be done. I'm just trying to help you understand. And look, let me tell you something. And I this is true for me, and I know it is true for many, many mature Christians, pastors, pastors' wives, evangelists, deacons. I know that this is true for me, and it's true of many mature Christians in this room. I know it because I've talked to them and I've asked them. But you know that I know for a fact. I know for a fact. I grew up an independent fundamental Baptist. I've been a Baptist my entire life. I was a Baptist before I was saved. I've been a Baptist my whole life. I was born into an independent fundamental Baptist family. And I know for a fact that throughout my life, I've had pastors preach sermons directed right at me. Where multiple times. Where I there was no doubt in my mind, like, he's talking about me right now. Yeah. So what you do? I got angry and just quit on God. You know, did you like it? No. Was it fun? No. You know what I did was I listened. Amen. And I fixed it. Yeah, amen. And I said, I have sinned. Yeah, he's right. I shouldn't have done that. Right? That was the wrong thing to do. And I just fixed it. And at the time, it wasn't joyful. At the time, it wasn't fun at the time. But I look back on those times and I say, man, praise the Lord that there are people in this world that love me enough to correct me. Amen. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me just end with a couple of thoughts here. We're talking about what you should do when you think the sermon's about you. When you think the sermon's about you, you should consider that maybe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. When you think the sermon's about you, maybe you should consider that you think too highly of yourself. When you think the sermon's about you, you should consider that maybe you've never actually experienced hard preaching. When you think the sermon's about you, you should consider that maybe the sermon is about you. Let me tell you something. You should want the sermon to be about you. You should want the sermons to be directed at you. People wanting sermons that are not directed at them, they are the problem. They are the problem with this country. They are the problem with Christianity. 2 Timothy 4, look at verse 2. You know the verses, famous words. Preach the word. Be instant. What does that mean? It means ready. At a moment's notice, be instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? Whether it's popular or not, whether people like it or not. Reprove means to admonish, correct. Rebuke means to express sharp disapproval, reprimand. Exhort means to encourage, to do right, to counsel. By the way, here we see that biblical preaching is 2/3 negative, 1/3 positive. You know what most preaching out there today is? It's 100% positive. Joel Osteen never says anything negative. He never says anything bad. You know why? Because he actually doesn't love you. Now, it'd be a lot easier for me to just say generic things that I know are not going to offend you, so you keep coming to church and keep putting money in the offering plate. Say, why don't you do that? Because I'm not a false prophet. Because I actually love the Word of God, and I actually love and care for you. Amen. And I'm watching for your soul. I'm trying to help you, and so is your pastor back home. Amen. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Look at it, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There are people all over this country today, Sunday morning, going to church all over this country, who are hoping the pastor will lie to them. Who want to be lied to. Who want to be told fables. They do not want a sermon preached, directed at them. And they're the problem, my friend. So you know what you ought to consider? What you ought to consider when you think the sermon's about you? You ought to consider, I want the sermon to be about me. I want the sermon to be directed at me because it's bad people. It's bad people who don't want the sermons directed at them. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we'll finish up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 17. You know, let me say this, and this isn't really part of my sermon, but I think it should be said. You know that honestly, most of the time that people think the sermon's about them, it wasn't. I mean, I've had so many people confess so many things to me over the years. And they're like, you know when you preach that sermon about smoking? And I'm like, I didn't know you smoked. And you were preaching about me. Well, I am now. You know, when you said this and that was about, and it's like, I didn't know that. Look, I'm not omniscient. I'm not God. Most of the time, we get up here and we speak for an hour. Some of us longer. Hour. 3 times a week. We say lots of things. And people think, oh, he's saying that because of me, or he's saying that about me, or he's saying that. Just humble yourself. You consider that maybe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Maybe you're thinking too highly of yourself. You need to humble yourself. Maybe you've never actually experienced specific, explicit, applicable, hard preaching. And maybe the sermon is about you. Respond like David. When Nathan says, thou art the man, you're right, Nathan. I've sinned. You should want the sermon to be directed towards you because people not wanting the sermon to be directed at them are bad people. They're problem people. They are the problem in this country. They are the problem of so-called Christianity. People who want to be lied to, who want to turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. You should want the sermon to be directed at you. And let me just say this. You should show up to church ready to receive the Word of God. When it is revealed to you, even if it's directed right at you. Acts 17, verse 11, look at it. You know the verse, but let's look at it. Acts 17, 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. This is God comparing and contrasting two different groups of Christians. And he says, these were more noble. He says, these were better. These were better Christians than those in Thessalonica. The Berean Baptists were better than the Christians in Thessalonica. And again, let me just say to you, not all Christians are created equal. Some Christians are better than others. What made these people better? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Look at it. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, usually when we go to this verse, we focus on these words and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And that's good. Praise the Lord. You ought to search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. You ought to read the Bible. But you know, the Bible doesn't just say that they search the scriptures daily. That's what they did at home. But what did they do when they were at church? They received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready to receive the word of God. Amen. They weren't doing this. That's not for me, that's for you. I think he's talking about you. You know what they were doing? They were ready to receive it. They came to church hoping that the word of God would speak to them. You know, when you go home and the pastor preaches a sermon, and you think it's about you, thank the man. Thank him for loving you. For having enough boldness to stand up and preach the truth to you. For watching for your soul. And instead of getting angry and upset and mad, why don't you decide to be like these Berean Baptists who received the word with all readiness of mind. They wanted the preaching to be about them. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we thank you for hard preaching. I know that sometimes hard biblical preaching is not pleasant. I know that sometimes it's not fun. But Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help us to be the type of Christians who say, maybe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Maybe I think too highly of myself. Maybe it's just hard preaching. Or maybe the sermon's about me. And I should fix my problem. Help us to receive the word with all readiness of mind. And help us to search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And Lord, I do thank you for the men of God who stand up and faithfully preach your word. It's not easy. Sometimes we offend people, we upset people. But we do it because we love them and we love the word of God. And I pray you'd help us to continue to do it. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.